Good health is a crown worn by the healthy that only the ill can see. Your health really is your wealth. Join us for the next hour as we explore disease and attaining and maintaining good health. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday, brought to you by Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
It's Monday and you're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Engel and I'm going to be chatting with Professor Dimakatso Lebina, clinician, and experienced researcher at the African Health Research Institute. We're going to be chatting about the TB vaccination and getting to understand what it is, how it works, and who it's for. Let us have your questions for our guest on 061-895-1019.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Thank you so much for joining us today here on the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Engel, and I'm chatting with Professor Dimakatso Lebina. Prof, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. Am I pronouncing your name correctly? Because I'm famous the world over for getting it wrong.
Good morning. No, you perfectly.
Yes. Okay, fantastic. Well, thank
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much. This is probably one out of about 800 or 900. So I'm quite proud. Thank you, Prof. Firstly, I wanted to say thank you again for joining us. And this is something that's quite fascinating. And I think it's almost part of South African culture because tuberculosis is so ingrained. We all know someone who has had TB or is living with TB, and it's so much part of South Africa. It's vital, yet I think the understanding that people have is maybe on a level that is not really as deep as it should be. So that's what I'm hoping to do with the show and our conversation, is to educate and inform our listeners so that they can make better decisions as well. If we could start off, Prof, what is TB? What is tuberculosis?
Yeah, TB is a bacteria that is infects human beings through inhaled droplets. And most of the time it affects the lungs, but it can affect any part of the body, from bones to the brain, but most commonly, many people when they are sick with TB, is their lungs that are getting damaged from this bacteria.
Okay, and can it affect anyone, or is it that sort of we're coming across it all the time, and if we're strong and healthy, then we are okay?
It can affect anyone at any age, and that's why all of us need to be checking if we could be having the disease, no one is really safe.
Okay, 100%. What can we do on a daily basis to keep ourselves safe?
Because it's an airborne droplet, almost like all the things we learned or relearned during COVID on how to keep the areas we are in well ventilated, especially when we are crowded, washing hands regularly. And of course, if you do have a cough or you are concerned, put on a mask so that you can protect the next person.
Okay, 100%. For those of us and those members of our communities that are stuck in tight places, perhaps in an elevator or in a taxi where there's no real opportunity for separation, and I think we're coming into winter, where people are going to want windows closed, is wearing a mask still a good idea?
As an individual, every day, I'm not sure. It can help you, but it will also make you socially awkward.
Yeah, absolutely. See, so I'm fortunate I'm already socially awkward, so it's not a problem. So, it can help. Okay. I think for those who are super concerned, they'll make that choice to wear the mask because it is a choice. Let's chat about the vaccines because TB has been around for a very, very long time. Quite interestingly, I was watching a movie with Dennis Quaid where he was playing a famous American Western character called Doc Holliday who had TB. And this was in about the 1880s in the United States. And, you know, there the treatment was literally just you'd live with it for as long as you could and then go to a sanitarium for your last couple of days and be comfortable. How come we haven't been able to get rid of TB? Let me ask that question. What is it about the disease that makes it so resilient?
One is that it is a difficult disease. It has many phases. Even up to today, scientists do not understand all the stages in full of what it can do once it's inside the body. Secondly, we have one vaccine that works that was discovered about 120 years ago, the BCG vaccine that is given at birth. It has shown that it's very protective for disseminated TB disease, especially in children, protects relatively well for pulmonary TB, even though it's not 100%. But we've seen that it's not so good for protecting adolescents and adults from getting TB. That's why there's quite a quest to find a new TB vaccine that protects adolescents and adults.
Okay. Is this something that should be given sort of to a newborn as early as possible as part of our usual vaccine sort of ritual that we have growing up?
Yes, the BCG vaccine should be given and should still be continued to be given to a newborn, preferably before they leave the hospital or clinic.
Right. Is this a once-off vaccine or is this something where we need to have boosters throughout our life?
So the current regimen is a once-off at that time. And there's been evaluations to see if maybe we had to get a booster at like 12 or 10, will it help? That data was not very comforting, but the research is still ongoing on that aspect to say, can another BCG vaccine improve the level of protection?
Okay. With the vaccine in its current form, it is quite effective, and we're looking now at new vaccines. That's something I think I want to touch on after the ad break. But just before we go to ads, are you finding people in public that have not had the vaccine, that do not want the vaccine or want the vaccine for their children?
I think in South Africa, we're still quite fortunate. Vaccine confidence, trust in the health system is still quite high, and many people are taking up vaccination for their children.
And taking that quite seriously. So I think let's have a look at sort of what else is being developed, what's coming down the road in terms of new vaccines.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right, groovy. So we're going to get to that straight after these ads. You are listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 High FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and I'm chatting with Professor Dimakatso Labina, clinician and an experienced researcher at the African Health Research Institute. Let us have your questions for our guest on our WhatsApp number 061-895-1019.
This is Medical Monday brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
And we are back. I'm chatting with Professor Dimakatso Labina. She is a clinician and an experienced researcher at the African Health Research Institute. You're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. Prof, I do have to tell you that I get nervous chatting to professors, so
Oh, no.
I'm trying to be as well behaved as I can. Just before we go to chat about future vaccines, we have a question which I'd like to run past you from one of our listeners. It says, "Hey, Nick, a friend of mine was diagnosed with TB when she was in high school. How long does treatment normally take and what does it depend on?" And that is from our listener, Stacy.
Yes, so treatment is usually 6 months, but with TB as a bacteria, we have what we call drug-resistant TB and drug-sensitive TB. Drug-sensitive means it responds very well to the commonly used or first-line treatment recommended, and that should then treat the disease in 6 months. However, if one has a drug-resistant one, which will also be found on the laboratory test, then the treatment can be 9 months to 18 months, okay, depending on the treatment they need to get.
Ah, okay, got it. So we hopefully you want the more sensitive one to be rid of quicker. Absolutely. So, Prof, what does the future hold? What is coming down the road in terms of new vaccines?
So there's been quite a lot of research in the last few years to find a new TB vaccine. There's two candidates that are promising. One is M72 and one is MTBVAC. They are both in the phase 3 clinical trial component to be evaluated for safety and also to see if they do actually help prevent TB disease or the efficacy of that vaccine. We're hoping we'll get the results maybe 2029, 2030, because of how TB disease is so complicated. People in the studies need to be followed up for about 5 years before we can confirm that the TB vaccine works or not. So that's the exciting news we are looking forward to. And as a country, as South Africa, we already started discussing how can we prepare for the rollout of these TB vaccines. And there's a plan to write a roadmap by the Department of Health, the TB program, on how to prepare and reach these adolescents and adults. As you know, our immunization program is targeting children at the moment, so it's not very strong at addressing diseases in adolescents and adults. We tried in COVID, but it was a once-off campaign. But to have a continuous program for adolescents and adults, we need to be designed in a way that can integrate with other programs within the health system.
Right. Prof, you mentioned COVID, and I just wanted to touch on that quickly. What has our experience within COVID, the development of that vaccine and post-COVID, taught us about dealing with diseases like TB and the development of vaccines? Has it accelerated? Has it improved? Has it improved the networking between different countries and companies?
Definitely. The vaccine development has gotten new knowledge. One of them is the use of the messenger RNA vaccine, which was included, for example, in the Pfizer vaccine, to say it can be used as a molecule to help with the vaccine development. And we are also trying out new vaccines for TB using that messenger RNA platform. But secondly, what we've learned with the COVID vaccine rollout is that communities need to be involved as early as possible. Communication strategy has to be an integral part of vaccine development. You don't want to develop something, hide or keep it a secret and only come out at the end and say, "Hi, I've got a solution. Do you want to take it?" But rather to take the community, not just the scientists, but the people that will be taking the vaccine in with you on the journey of development and discovery, so that when the vaccine is available, it's easier to encourage people to take it.
That's such an important point. And within South Africa, how effective are we with bringing member groups of our population along on that journey? So I'm sure that if you're involved in the journey, you almost have a little bit of buy-in. You feel you have a bit of ownership and then better trust and connection. How are we doing? Are we leading the world in this?
I would say South Africa, we are world leaders in this
Yeah.
aspect. The first consortium with between Department of Health and the researchers on vaccine development was held in South Africa, organized by the World Health Organization in July 2024. We also have a group that's engaging civil society as well as researchers and Department of Health and the immunization program and the TB program leaders to say how best can we address the delivery of a vaccine that targets adolescents and adults, taking into consideration the wonderful structures we have within the immunization program to make sure that a vaccine can get to the most remote clinic in Lusisiki or in wherever rural area we might have, still maintaining cold chain management. And how can we bring those lessons into the vaccine delivery, but now targeting adolescents and adults and providing more of a life course vaccine? Because I'm sure with time there will be more other vaccines, whether it's hepatitis B, whether it's the HIV vaccine, when it becomes available, there will be more vaccines targeting this age group. So we are really working hard, and I think we'll be the leaders in this space within South Africa.
Absolutely fantastic. Just to touch a little bit more on that point, do you find other countries coming to South Africa for advice on this, on how to involve communities as the development is rolled out?
Some countries haven't even started thinking about the rollout of the TB vaccine in their setting. Some countries have already started talking, and there's also been a talk among the international funders and vaccine developers, as well as the World Health Organization, to say, as South Africa is learning, writing this roadmap, we need to create a forum to allow other countries to learn from us.
Absolutely phenomenal. That's absolutely fantastic. I mean, it's built on very hard-earned experience because of the number of TB patients, but it's wonderful to hear that we are able to get out there and to reach everyone. Talking about the new vaccine, is the goal of it really then just to help or to assist and to vaccinate other age groups, or is there something else that you're looking for the vaccine to do? So is it not just it's with the babies and now adolescents and adults, or is there something else the vaccine is going to be doing?
Yeah, I mean, the idea is we would like it to get the people at the highest risk of getting TB, but it's also a thin line between stigmatization and making sure that those that are at highest risk get the vaccine. As soon as you start seeing people that are immunocompromised or living with HIV, healthcare workers, those that have worked in the mines are more eligible than others. It also then elevates the stigma, which is something we've been working very hard to also reduce in South Africa on TB. So yes, especially at the beginning, there might be limited vaccine. These things are expensive to make. We're not sure yet how the demand will look like. There are projections, but in the earlier phases of rollout and based also on the current research data available, there might be certain groups that are more encouraged to get the vaccine. But in the end, the aim is to will be to get to every adolescent and adult.
Okay, fantastic. I know within the specific groups, and I think you mentioned healthcare workers, immunocompromised people, perhaps those living with HIV, minors, and perhaps in prison, those type of areas where there might be a higher rate or chance of infection, and also then you don't not wanting to stigmatize those population groups. How do you balance that in terms of serving them because there is a higher need and not having a stigma developed? What work has been done over the last few years?
Yeah, I guess it has to ha go with the education of the community and understanding how the disease spreads and how it works once it gets into the body. But without that education, it also more about the social dynamics of also encouraging others to join, because we are all at risk. It's just different levels of risk.
Absolutely. You know, I've been sober for 19 years, and one of the wonderful gifts of that is going to meetings and building relationships with those in the sober community and those doing service. And I know of a gentleman who was relatively healthy and strong, but from doing prison service and close contact with the prisoners, because everybody loves a hug, actually contracted TB. So it can be anyone at any time, even in the service work that we need to do. And we need to be very, very careful. I wanted to ask two questions, and I suppose it's obvious when you say, what can we be doing to live healthier to support our immune systems? I think we should all know this and act as adults, but we don't always do that in terms of how the choices we make. And then also, what are the symptoms? So I think if we could look at what should we be doing in terms of our supporting ourselves, what should we not be doing, and then what are the symptoms that show with TB?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're going to how, what can we do to stay healthy?
Yeah.
It's a whole
don't
other
drink,
hour
don't
discussion.
Smoke, don't eat, eat,
yeah,
eat
exercise,
like an adult.
Eat healthy.
Yep, that's
yeah.
it. Lots
eat
of water, lots of rest.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's all there, it's, but yep. it's the actual doing that's more difficult. But yeah, we're doing the best that we can to look our after ourselves and our bodies.
Yes.
So the symptoms of TB have been known, talked about for many years. It's coughing, night sweats, fever, weight loss. But we've come also to learn that it's not just those symptoms. People can have TB and not have any symptoms, especially we think it's at the beginning for some people until they come to a stage where then they are very ill. And we need to start looking for them earlier. So we need to be providing more tests to people, even if they are asymptomatic, to see if they have TB.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, if you go to a clinic in South Africa, we have what we call universal targeted testing for TB. So that means if you are considered to be at high risk, those are the immunocompromised people living with HIV. If you are living in the same house with someone with TB, or you had TB in the previous 2 years, you'll be investigated for TB irrespective of your symptoms to check if you could be having asymptomatic TB. We need more research to be done to confirm also if this asymptomatic TB can be transmitted. But the health system has to make more effort to find people before they are too sick. When you're already coughing, losing weight, night sweats, maybe it's at the end of the spectrum of the illness. Maybe we need to be finding people much earlier while they still have asymptomatic TB.
Okay. If one is going sort of for an annual physical or for a physical, you know, every few years and a checkup, is this something that should be tested for? What is the test of TB? How do you check for a TB sufferer?
Depending on your level of risk, it is recommended now in South Africa that if you are living with HIV, you should be tested every year for TB. And the test is that you provide a sputum or a spit or phlegm to be tested in the laboratory. The World Health Organization has also recently approved tongue swabs. So you can have a swab wrapped on your mucosa and your tongue and send that to the lab to see if you have TB. But yeah, it's a laboratory test. There's also a chest X-ray that can be done. And now with AI, it can also be read by AI, and immediately you are told whether you have TB or no TV.
Wow, that's unbelievable. Something that I just thought of when we chatted about the health aspects of looking after ourselves. I think we know smoking is a huge risk factor and a big no-no. With the high rise and increase in vaping, have we seen is a correlation? Is that a risk factor that we have enough information on yet? Or is it something that's still too new?
I do not have information on vaping and TB. possibly because it's still new. But what I know is that countries like Indonesia, where smoking prevalence is much higher than in South Africa, their biggest risk factor for TB is smoking.
Okay.
So maybe that's another research area for someone to take on.
That's something that that we definitely then need to look at. I think now I'm just going to check with Craig. Are we going to ads? We're going to go to an ad break now. And then when we come back, we will carry on chatting. Prof, I don't mean to embarrass you when I says the fantastic professor, because really, really loving this conversation. Dimakatso Labina, clinician and an experienced researcher at the African Health Research Institute. You're listening to the Disco Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and we'll be back with you after these ads.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dischem. Better health starts here.
And we're back. You are listening to the Disco Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle. I'm chatting with Professor Dimakatso Labina, clinician and an experienced researcher at the African Health Research Institute. Thank you, Prof, for staying with us. And just want to give out our studio WhatsApp number, and then we'll get back to the conversation. Let us have your questions for our guest on 0618951019. We've been chatting all things TB. Prof, one thing that I also wanted to touch on, with the prevalence of TB in South Africa, how big a strain, a load, is it on our healthcare system? And if we were to look at getting everybody vaccinated, everybody covered, and easing that load, you know, how big a difference would it make? I suppose that's a dream scenario, but we can dream.
Yes, no. TB is a big problem. We have close to 300,000 people being found with TB in the country every year. So if they all need to be seen and be put on TB treatment, it is a load. But what is more sad is that you have about 56,000 people dying from TB every year. And that's a number that can fill Moses Madiba Stadium, for example, here in Durban. If we were to hear that everybody that went to watch a soccer match has passed away, will be sad. So, but that's what we're getting every year in our country. So if we can get a TB vaccine, the research that has been done through modeling mathematic calculations to see which strategy will have the most impact, it's vaccination. If we want to win this battle, if we want to end TB in our lifetime, we need to invest in vaccination.
I think, Prof, it comes down to the old saying of prevention is better than cure.
Absolutely.
And with these new vaccines that are coming in for adolescents and for adults, what do you feel the timeline is, if it's even possible to estimate, before it's becoming part of sort of mainstream healthcare within South Africa, where it's becoming the norm?
My estimate will be 2031, 2032, if we were to really move fast. If the activists, the policymakers, the vaccine manufacturers, those that need to finance the vaccines can come together, as we have already started the discussion, so that once there's a clear signal of efficacy, once the vaccines that are currently being evaluated in clinical trials have results that indicate that they can work, we should have already in place systems and processes that should be followed so that within 2 years of that, then the people can start accessing the vaccine.
Sure, absolutely phenomenal. And then ultimately, would this be available for anyone? And as adults, would this be elective that I could say, you know what, I'd like to go and get the vaccine?
It will, should be available for anyone who wants it. But as I said, there might be phases of rollout. Yeah. It might start with certain groups and then later phases be accessible for anyone who is interested.
Okay, because I swear, there does need to be a little bit of public responsibility around it and not having a mad rush to get the vaccine and then putting a strain on supply for those sectors of the population that really do need it. So we'll be informed as it becomes available and as it becomes optional. What I wanted to also touch on, routine screenings. Are we seeing sort of workplace screenings, antenatal testings, maybe screenings at school? And again, I'm going back to thinking about potential stigma for those people that, sort of may be called aside or testing positive. Is screening something that we're seeing in the country?
Yes, South Africa has adopted the routine screening for many years, but it was initially based on symptom screening. So we check, are you losing weight? Are you having night sweats? Are you coughing? And then to be investigated. But our screening has been modified to say if you are considered to be at high risk, you should be investigated irrespective of the symptoms.
Of the symptoms. Okay. I was going to say,
and we hope introduction of tongue swabs will also make the screening much easier. If not, and maybe even self-administered, that if you consider yourself to be at high risk, you are concerned or worried for whatever reason, you can get a tongue swab, test yourself, send it to the lab. Maybe that's the future.
Sure. That would be fantastic. So we see a lot of these home DNA tests where from companies where you can check your ancestry, where you do your own, where you do a cheek swab and then seal it and send it off. So that would be something that would be absolutely, absolutely fantastic. Prof, I suppose not to ask a difficult question, but I think in your view or belief, given sort of the rate of acceleration in terms of the understanding and the working with the disease, do you think this is something that could ever be eradicated, or I don't want to know if the word cured would be correct, but is this something that we could get to a stage where it's been wiped out?
At the moment, we are not doing well in terms of our targets that we have set in, towards ending TB. But at the same time, we've got robust strategies within South Africa. We have the National Strategic Plan 2023 to 2028 that also incorporates being the leader in vaccine development and rollout. So we have the plans, we have the will. And I think it's just a matter of time. If we can be able to implement very well the things that we know can work, and also start looking for the new tools that we need, and then combine what we know now and the new tools that we discover with more research, I think we can overcome.
Sure.
The human race is resilient. Yes.
Absolutely. I think from what I'm hearing, it's, things are challenging at the moment. They're difficult, but we have resilience and tenacity. And the one thing that I'm very fortunate with my show that I get to chat to many wonderful healthcare professionals. And the one thing that I found within the South African context that seems to be different to other healthcare professionals I speak to around the world is, I don't know if it's maybe on the ground experience, there seems to be a certain sensitivity where it's almost speaking of the disease, it's speaking of someone that's within my family or that's close to me. There seems to be a very personal connection between the healthcare professionals and the patients and those that they're working with. And I think that is something that's unique about South Africa. Before we go to ads, I'd just love to get your thoughts on that very quickly, and then we'll go to an ad break. What is it that makes us special?
I think that's true. We are part of the community that we serve, and we can feel the up and downs that the communities go with through.
Absolutely.
We are not isolated.
No, definitely not isolated. Professor Dimakatso Lebina, clinician and experienced researcher at the African Health Research Institute. Thank you. We're going to go to a quick ad break. When we're back, Prof, just before we wrap up, I'd just like to get your final thoughts and any advice that you can give to our listeners. You're listening to the Disco Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dischem. Better health starts here.
You've been listening to the Dischem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Singel, and I've been chatting with Professor Dimakatso Lobina. Prof, it's been amazing chatting to you. Just as we wrap up the show, what thoughts or advice would you like to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, there is a lot of work being done on TB research. If you can, get involved, participate, let your voice be heard. There will also be discussion forums on how we can best deliver these TB vaccines when they are available. Contribute if you can, if you find those forums, or write an article, communicate to the Department of Health. As a country, we are better together. So if we can all come together to find a way to fight this TB, whether it's through vaccinations, whether it's through taking your treatment, if you are found to be having TB, so that you complete it and you protect your neighbor, you protect your family from contracting the disease from you, we can do this. We can fight the TB. We can end it in our lifetime.
Sure. I absolutely love that, Prof. If we can all get sick together, we can all get better together. So it's all of our responsibility, and I think that's incredibly, incredibly empowering. Professor, thank you so much for joining us. That's Professor Dimakatso Lobina, clinician and an experienced researcher at the African Health Research Institute. Prof, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you today. Thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you for the invitation. It was lovely.
Thank you. You've been listening to the Dischem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Singel, and I will chat with you next week.